Hi, I'm currently dying, and I would like to schedule a consultation.
Sarah.
Hi there.
I'm sure you're familiar with the process. When you know you're going to die, you can have yourself cloned.
You have very clean skin. I like your shirt.
But life has thrown you a curveball. You're not dying anymore.
The duel to the death will be in approximately 1 year.
Wait, did you say duel to the death?
Well, hi, everybody. This is Mark Chaffardini with Go See Talk. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. We are thrilled, doubly thrilled, actually, to be speaking to Riley Stearns about his new movie, Duel, D-U-A-L. And man, it is a trip. Riley, how's things in your world?
Things are great. I love that I made a movie where I have to spell it every time and other people have to spell it every time. They're, like when Spielberg is the other alternative, you kind of have to make sure that you don't like step on any toes. So yeah, D-U-A-L, guys.
Great, great. Yeah, I was wondering, I was like, did you have to put a mandate to say no 18-wheelers, no large vehicles in this production?
Well, it's just funny. Like I found the Spielberg duel when I was a young person on watching TV one day, was just so blown away. And I own the DVD. It's been one of my favorite like weirdo movies for a long time. So the fact that I made a movie that I, again, just have to make sure people know that I'm not trying to like remake or copy or anything. It's kind of a funny little full circle.
Absolutely. Fair enough. You know, speaking of full circle, I had this weird thought in my head that wouldn't it be funny if the worlds of The Art of Self-Defense and Duel collided to the point where Karen Gillian's, her instructor was actually Alessandro Novello. But I thought for people who have seen it, it probably wouldn't work like that. So
yeah, well, it wouldn't work mainly because Sensei doesn't like teaching women. So
I feel like
she wouldn't have gotten good instruction. I mean, not that he's the best instructor in the world anyway, but she definitely wouldn't have been given the amount of time that Trent puts into the training process. So I think she ended up better in a better position with Trent.
Well, I have to say that I was not surprised at the amount of black humor, knowing what came from The Art of Self-Defense, but there's just something hilarious about just the delivery of lines. Like I want to quote my absolute favorite line. Between the personal combat training, clone support, and hip-hop dance classes, money has been a little tight recently. And I just think that out of context, that's like such a crazy concept. But in your mind, I guess it makes sense. Can you talk to, like, where did this movie gestate and come from?
Yeah, I'll speak to that in two ways. The first way is that I always thought that my dialogue was stylized. And then I was talking to my sister about The Art of Self-Defense because she read it before we made it. And she said something about it. And I was like, well, I mean, everyone's talking in a stylized way. And she goes, Riley, everyone talks exactly like you. And then I said, no, it's stylized. And she goes, Riley, you talk exactly like that. So I guess it's not too far from who I am. I'm trying to be more like normal in these interviews, for lack of a better word. But yeah, I mean, the idea for Duel itself just came initially from the desire to have a performer act opposite themselves. And then I figured out the idea of what would happen if you knew you were going to die, but you could have yourself cloned so that your family wouldn't have to miss you. That felt like a movie, but it didn't feel like my movie. It didn't feel like it was enough of an idea and a path to go down. I felt like there was something missing. And it wasn't until I asked the question, well, what would happen if you went into remission, that the movie turned into, well, obviously you would duel to the death. And that felt like Duel became Duel in that moment. I'm just one of those people that I guess like tries to go down a path that's a little less traveled. And it feels natural to me. It feels normal. It's not like being forced or anything, but it's definitely not the norm, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I have to say that I was completely taken with the graphic design, the set design, things that made this feel completely, you couldn't find this place anywhere. Can you talk to us about the freedom you had to create the menus of a taco restaurant, the minimal, the sort of old fashioned screen typography on a cell phone, things like that, that void of color and pictures and things like that.
Everything you're describing is world building. And that's one of the most fun parts about making a movie. Like I love films that are grounded, that are based in reality, and that you really can identify with the characters in the world, and you know that world intrinsically because you live in it. But at the end of the day, you're watching a film. And I know, even watching those movies, I know I'm watching a movie. So my idea has always been, if I know I'm watching a movie, why don't I lean into the movie of it all? And so it's fun to get to create those spaces. It's fun to, like, say to your graphic designer, I don't want it to be an iPhone that we all recognize. I want it to feel like it doesn't exist in our reality. So why don't we have the create this iOS that looks like MS-DOS and like really lean into this alternate version of our own world. And so part of the big thing for us was the fact that when we initially were looking at locations, it was going to be like a United States shoot or a Canada shoot. And it would have been pretty normal for all intents and purposes, but it ended up shooting in Finland because of COVID and the safety of shooting there, the count that they had at the time. And so we really leaned into the look of Finland. Like, Finland does not look like the United States, but it's not like otherworldly in its own way too. It's very specific. And I think that just really benefited the look and the feel of the movie.
Absolutely. You mentioned that the dialogue came from who you are as a person. So how difficult or easy was that to get actors to sort of embody that and speak in? I mean, there was when the doctor is telling Sarah about her issue, and she was like, well, that's a curveball. And she started to give her a literal explanation of a curveball. And just like, that's a lot of dialogue, but it's funny and it's dark. It's amazing. So
it's a balance. And I appreciate that. It's a balance, and it's making sure that you're never doing too much, but you're also not holding back at the same time. That curveball monologue is an example of one that, as I was writing, I just was like, I feel like this doctor's kind of insane. I think we can get away with this. Let's go down this path. And then similarly, when she's talking about the types of funerals you can have and what happens post-funeral, it was just letting that character give you some exposition in a way that I felt like was interesting and worth listening to. It's a challenge. It's I can write a million different things that somebody can say that I think are funny, but is it right for the movie? You always have to make those determinations. And for the most part, I feel like the movie kind of does exactly what it should do. And it's, again, it's not going to be for everybody. I know that, but I think that the people who really respond to it are going to have a great time with it. And I think that they're going to find that it's not too dissimilar from our own world. It's just an exaggerated version of everything.
Well, you know, I'm a big music fan. And so what I do on the site is try to promote artists and composers, but there wasn't a great amount of music, but the music that was in it was pretty great. Can you talk about working with Emma Ruth Rundle and like the big moments and a lot of quiet in between?
Yeah, I mean, the film is very quiet. And that between Emma's score coming in just when it needs to come in, and then our the people who designed the sound and like helped mix at the end of the film, just trusting the quietness of it all, which is actually way harder than having something with a million different sound effects in it. Like, quiet movies are much harder to make than loud movies. And I will fight people on that. It's just so much harder, but it's what this movie needed. It's a movie about loneliness. It's a movie about like feeling of disassociation and finding yourself again. So all of those quiet moments are warranted. And Emma's score particularly just like comes in right when it needs to. It like you said, it's big when it needs to be big, but this is her first score. And she's somebody who I've been a fan of for a while now, and reached out to cold and said, via Instagram, I DM'd her and just said, have you ever considered doing a score? I have this movie that I haven't written yet, but I have the idea for, and I feel like your stuff would work really, really well for it. And to her, like, to my surprise, she actually responded and said, yeah, I've never done one, but I've always wanted to. She, for not ever having done a score, I mean, let alone the fact that it's just amazing period, but for never having done this, she took to it so naturally. And I hope that people kind of continue to work with her. I would love to continue to find the right things to work with her on, because she's just got this like untapped talent for putting music to picture. And it's one thing to be a good musician. It's another thing to be a good person with visuals, but to combine those two things is way harder than I think people realize.
Well, to round this out, let's talk about the little things that make Duel special. I love the duality of being able to discern one character from the other based on eye color or hairstyle, even so much as putting S and SD on water bottles just to differentiate. What were some of the fun that you had in that like granular sandbox of, you know, bifurcating one from the other?
With Karen, we had those conversations like early on about the subtleties, the differences between the two characters, because it's way easier just to make them completely different. It's a lot harder to say, well, they're basically the same person. They've just gone slightly veering, or they've slightly veered in their paths. And so Karen had a very difficult task in trying to figure out how to perform those subtleties, but we had conversations about it from the beginning. I really trusted her. She trusted me. We figured out our costume and our hair and makeup designs that were gonna be different and just had fun with that process.
Okay. Well, I think it's fitting that she plays a character named Nebula because her acting is really out of this world. I mean, she seems like she could cry on a dime. It's just lovely to watch her dance through all this material. The thing that I gravitated towards most, I'm very glad I saw this. And when you talk about finding the movie hitting its audience, that's me right here, both hands in the air. I love the support group scene where the doubles are finding out that they were put on this earth to do something. And it speaks to a very worldly idea of like, I didn't ask to be born, you know? So like, you know, can you dive into maybe some of those more tender moments, even amongst the comedy bits?
For a movie that kind of disassociates from its emotional beats and the way, I guess, particularly lines of dialogue that are emotionally charged, but people either say those lines or receive those lines in a way that's removed or distant. I felt like it was still very important to acknowledge the fact that these are still human beings and still people, that they have thoughts and fears and wants and desires and all these emotions that make us who we are. And so we found like anytime Karen's or Sarah is in the car, we felt like the car was a safe space for her character to react and be emotional and have an outburst. But similarly, I knew that I wanted to kind of dive into just very briefly, because it's not what the movie's about, but what would really happen to the people who have to go through these events, who've seen their their original commit suicide or who've had to shoot their double in the face on the battlefield or whatever it is. Like, how would you actually go on living after that? And who would it, like, how would it make you the person that you are now? And how, what would you need to do to kind of come back from that? And so felt pretty early on that there should be some sort of a support group for these people to talk about these feelings. And again, just to get to be human beings, even if they deliver these lines in a very cold way, you can see that there's actual thought and hurt behind their eyes. And that ended up being one of my favorite scenes in the movie. And I'm glad that we really pushed it there and really just like let them be people for a moment. Yeah, I hope people feel the same way. I just love the way that, particularly the fact that there's three monologues by people who you've never seen in the movie. And then you just, for that moment, you actually really care about what they're saying. That was huge for me.
And I feel like this could have been a perfect Twilight Zone episode, you know, nice, concise 45 minutes. But when you hit those really relatable elements with characters and writing, it all really sung. So Riley, thank you so much for making it and spending some time with us.
I really appreciate it.
Well, everyone check out DUALASAP and we will catch you next time.